About the new year, I imagine a world where no child would have to witness or be a victim of family violence. I wish that all children would grow up without fear that one of their parents would be hurt, intimidated, or abused. The National Family Violence Survey estimates that 3.3 million children are exposed to domestic violence every year, and we, of course, know that that's underreported. Children who witness family violence, even if they're not targets, tend to exhibit the same emotional, behavioral, and academic problems as abused children. Some of you can relate to the consequences and have probably worked very hard to heal from your own childhood experiences. I'm Nurse Rona, and I'm here each week to present important topics to parents, grandparents, foster parents, childcare providers, big sisters, big brothers, or anyone who cares for and about children. You know, when a child witnesses family violence, there are lifelong consequences. Getting comprehensive and compassionate help is key to healing. And yet too many people report that they don't know how to get services, or that maybe it was complicated and costly, so they just give up. Others speak of the ongoing trauma they experience and struggling with custody issues and serious financial problems. Even if you haven't experienced family violence, chances are someone you know has. It's behind closed doors in all neighborhoods, touching the lives of people who are rich and those who live in poverty. People of all ethnicities and professions are victims to family violence. We need to learn more so we can have compassion and develop strategies and learn of resources to help the people in our lives who are caught in the web of violence. They need to know they're not alone, and children need caring adults to help them and to protect them. We want to hear from you this morning. 1-877-372-KIDS. That's 877-372-5437. If you're a victim of domestic violence and want resources, call us. If someone you love is in an abusive situation and you don't know what to do, you can call us or email me at rona@childhoodmatters.org. If you've experienced family violence in the past and were able to get help and heal, how did you do it? Please feel free to call anonymously by using a different name or city. Your experience might just be what someone who is listening today needs to hear in order to get help. We have two very talented and passionate professionals who have been working in this field joining us this morning. We have Nadia Davis-Lockyer. She's the executive director of the Alameda County Family Justice Center. And this center is a one-stop service delivery center comprised of multiple public, nonprofit, and government agencies with the mission of providing easily accessible, coordinated, and culturally sensitive services to victims of domestic violence, child abuse, elder abuse, and sexual assault and exploitation. Nadia had many meaningful work and volunteer experiences in her life so far. She sat on the Santa Ana School Board and even led pro bono efforts to obtain the freedom of a wrongfully convicted 16-year-old. At Loyola Law School, she led pro bono efforts while chairing the Public Interest Law Foundation. She mentored students at a neighboring elementary school and studied human rights and environmental law in Central America, and also transcribed law books for a blind law student. Nadia has worked for some of the largest pro bono law firms in the nation and is the recipient of numerous awards, including the League of United Latin American Citizens 2009 Champion Against Domestic Violence Award. She's the proud mother of a six-year-old son, Diego, and she's married to Bill Lockyer, the California State Treasurer. Nadia Davis-Lockyer, welcome to Childhood Matters.
Good morning.
So I'd like you to start us off right away, giving us a definition of family violence and also telling us why you think the Alameda County Family Justice Center is a model that's really improved on the response to family violence.
I want to first say to your listeners that every experience is individual and unique. That's very important to say. And domestic violence affects every income level, every culture. Men and women are victims. Generally, domestic violence is the systematic use of abuse tactics to gain power, and once that is obtained, to maintain control over an intimate partner. those tactics can be anything from physical, verbal, emotional, psychological, financial, spiritual, sexual, the full gamut. The ways that control is attempted to be maintained also is done through controlling somebody's communication, controlling their independence, controlling their ability to have economic self-sufficiency. And again, it affects every income, every culture, and every experience is unique. Excuse me, I'm fighting a cold.
I know, it's the season, isn't it?
It is the season. Now, several years ago in Alameda County, which has the highest number of calls to law enforcement out of any county in Northern California for help that is all DV-related, domestic violence-related, there was a realization that when victims seek help, they often were confronted with a disjointed system, with providers that were wonderful and leading the way, however, that were not fully or as best can be coordinated. So somebody would have to travel to up to 25 different locations.
Wow.
And tell their story numerous times to several different strangers, often with children in tow. Many did not have transportation nor child care and eventually give up. And the suffering and lost human potential was so staggering that leaders in Alameda County came together to form the Family Justice Center. And under one roof, we have 22 different entities, and we have a streamlined referral system to over 40 offsite agencies so that services now are delivered from the frame of mind of a victim, meaning you can come to one place, tell your story once, and it is a place of choices. You do not have to decide between calling law enforcement and getting, you know, a police report, having police involved, nor do you have to decide between fleeing and going to a shelter. You can come to the Family Justice Center and take one step at a time and decide the path that is most comfortable for you.
Wow. What a model that is for other places, too, because just imagining going to, you know, up to 25 different places and the emotional state that a person is in when they've been a victim of violence, and the idea that you have a place where children also feel safe.
We have child care on site, and it's called Kid Zone, and we assume that every child is either experiencing or witnessing violence, and so it's a comfortable place. Every child can leave with a toy and is given snacks, and when a victim survivor is receiving services, their child is in that safe place.
Yeah, thank you. And if people have questions about that, we'd love to hear from you this morning. 1-877-372-KIDS. And if you're in Alameda County, the amazing thing, too, is that this is a free service. So it's what should be done. And kids especially need early intervention, and they need caring people who are going to have an environment where they can feel safe. So thank you for that. Also joining us in the studio this morning is Judge Erica Yu. She was appointed to the Santa Clara County Superior Court in 2001 and was the first Asian American female to serve on this bench. Currently, she is in the Juvenile Dependency Division of the court and presides over the Family Wellness Court. It's a project funded by the federal government and First Five to serve children under the age of 3 whose families are struggling with addiction, homelessness, poverty, violence, and other issues. In 2009, she was appointed to the California Judicial Council, which is the policy-making body of the California courts. She, too, has been given numerous awards, including a 2009 Woman of Influence in the Silicon Valley and an Unsung Heroes Award from the Santa Clara County Bar Association. She was a child advocate for 10 years and volunteered through the Santa Clara County District Attorney's Office to represent children in the dependency system. Judge Erica Yu, it's really a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So you've had a great deal of experience working with victims of family violence. Maybe you could add to what Nadia said about talking about the profile of a family experiencing violence, and also tell us a little bit about the work you're doing with the Family Wellness Court and how that relates to family violence.
Sure. I'd like to add to what Nadia said about, you know, what is family violence. I think a lot of people don't know that in California, the definition of a domestic violence crime is any crime whatsoever that occurs between someone who's the perpetrator who is in a relationship with the victim. And so it could be a marital relationship, a dating relationship, living together, or co-parenting. And when people hear that, they're often surprised because it's really any crime. It's not just a hitting. It's not just, you know, like a beating that people traditionally think of. It can be taking someone's cell phone and breaking it or throwing it out of the car. It can be slashing tires. It can be harming the person's pet or property. The person who's the victim doesn't even have to be in the same room. And it's just really that relationship that defines the crime. And it's exactly what Nadia was saying about using those different actions, which are criminal in of themselves, to have power and control over the victim. And so that's why that relationship is important.
And I just want to add there, so that it could be also on an emotional level of controlling the person, not letting them be with friends, not letting them go to work, you know, even though there's even no physical violence. Too,
yes.
Right.
Yeah. Although just the controlling emotionally, there has to be some crime. And so that's harder. Of course, there's harassment and there's something called terrorist threats, which is really intimidation and being threatening, you know, even through the use of email or Facebook postings and things like that. That can all be considered a crime. And then if there's that relationship, it's domestic violence crime. When I spent 3 years in the criminal domestic violence division and supervised that division. So we handled all the misdemeanors and felonies in Santa Clara County that were domestic violence crimes. And at the time, the RDA's office was filing 89 new cases a week. And so
just in Santa Clara County.
That was just in Santa Clara County, and that's just the filings. So that did not reflect the number of police calls and responses. And then, of course, there's just a lot of different things that happen that never rise to the level of a police call. So if you're thinking of 89 new cases a week, that's a lot of domestic violence filings in Santa Clara County. And then I think what a lot of people don't know is that even if you're convicted of a misdemeanor, which in our county is a non-injury crime, and you receive probation for a domestic violence conviction, you're required to do a one-year domestic violence program as the perpetrator. And so that 52-week program is something that really tries to educate perpetrators, and the perpetrators can be men or women, on the issues of power and control, because that really is the essence of domestic violence.
Yes. And the Family Wellness Center, can you just tell us a little bit about that before we start taking calls?
Sure. So the Family Wellness Court was started. We opened our doors in March of 2008. We received a total of $6.3 million over a five-year period, combined from the federal government and First Five. It is sort of what Nadia was talking about, which is having a comprehensive treatment for court or therapeutic court for families dealing with primarily addiction and violence and homelessness and poverty. So we have 28 partners and 82 resource providers.
Wow.
Represented through a multidisciplinary team in the courtroom. And we have as many services as possible at the courthouse for people, because we realize that, you know, it is so difficult when you don't have money. Bus tokens are so expensive. Even if you can afford it, it takes hours to get someplace.
Yeah, and the whole idea here, again, I go back to children. And, you know, my whole thing is to try and speak for children who don't have a voice and be a champion. They need to know that the adults in their lives are getting help. It's very frightening for a child to experience domestic violence. And, you know, there's such different degrees of it. I mean, even for anyone listening who's just arguing with their spouse or partner and start yelling, you can see the looks on your kids' faces. You know, they get frightened. And so a lot of it has to do with how often that happens and to the degree. But we really want to set up systems that help children. We'd love to hear from you this morning. 1-877-372-KIDS. What experiences have you had? What resources do you need? What do you know about? This is a tough subject, and it's really important to talk about. We'll take our live line this morning. We have Eric with us from El Sobrante. Let's talk with Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being with us this morning. What would you like to say about this subject?
Well, I know when I was growing up, domestic violence was very prevalent in my household, and I was listening to the judge, and I know that if my parents had services such as what is being offered now, some of the issues that I went through as a child wouldn't have happened. I know that my mom and my stepdad didn't have these services, and I just wanted to say that it's so important for children to be thought about. I know my mom said that she stayed together, she stayed with my stepfather because of me. I wish she wouldn't have, because I would have much rather had grown up in a household where there wasn't the arguing, the fighting, and the yelling. I think I would have did a lot better as a child. So
that's a really important point that you're making. I mean, children want their parents to stay together, and no matter what goes on at the home, there's, you know, a love for parents. But what you're saying is, but at what cost? And in retrospect, you could see how frightening that was.
Right, exactly. And for me growing up, you know, I know my self-esteem was low. I know that I went through so my grades dropped. I was angry. I was bitter. I went to school and I got into fights because of what was going on in my home. So
yes,
it's just really important for people to understand that if they're in a situation such as this, to think about the kids and the long-term impact that staying in an abusive situation can be. If they have kids, because it really does affect us.
Erica?
You know, Eric, I just wanted to compliment you for what you've said. A lot of times we think of domestic violence as men battering women, and we don't think about the children, and we also undersell, I think, our fathers and our men in our society. And to really address the issue, we need to have both men and women at the table talking about it. We're finding through our family wellness court that fathers are really stepping up. When we wrote the grant, we wrote it for mothers. And then we realized, oh, we have to include the fathers. What are we thinking? And fathers often are stepping up where the women who are in the court are still in their addiction and can't really follow through. So I think it's very important. And also what I think you just did is try to, when we talk about domestic violence, we try to normalize it because it is so prevalent. 80% of our families in our court have dealt with domestic violence of some sort. And there's so much shame when we talk about domestic violence. And that's why it's been a crime that stays in the home undercover. And so to talk yes. about it helps people deal with the issue of the shame.
Absolutely. Nadia?
I just want to applaud you, Eric, for having the heroism to call in and share your personal story. And also let you know that it is definitely your voice is getting out to more and more people. A book that you might want to consider reading is The Pursuit of Happiness. Chris Gardner, the movie, was based on that book. It didn't cover 90% of his story, which was growing up as a young African-American boy with a lot of family violence and his will to change that history in his family. What you just did is exactly the same thing, so I want to applaud you. Also, there's programs out there that are working with young boys that are witnessing violence, Boys on the Rise and several others that are, again, trying to end that cycle. And systems are slowly changing where in whatever manner that your mom may have been able to get help, she would have been linked in to additional services. For example, we now, through the Family Justice Center, fund and co-locate advocates, legal aid advocates, in five different police departments so that when somebody calls the police for help, they are then not only helped by that law enforcement officer, but linked into hundreds of other services to help that person get into a safe and healthy home.
Thank you, Nadia. Things have definitely changed. Eric, I'm sure you're out there helping others, and I would love to hear from you again to learn more about how you were able to turn things around. Thank you for calling us this morning. I have a book called How to Raise Emotionally Healthy Children. I'm going to send it to you. You may want to pass it on to someone. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Listening to Childhood Matters.
Information for your kids.
For your family.
For you.
Give us a call now at 1-877-372-KIDS.
The conversation continues after this. Here's this week's Childhood Matters community calendar with events for parents and kids. Discover hidden wonders at the San Francisco Exploratorium. The museum is offering free admission Wednesday, January 6th from 10 to 5. For more information, call 415-561-0360. That's 415-561-0360. Have an adventure at Sausalito's Bay Area Discovery Museum at free first Wednesdays of the month. Check it out on Wednesday, January 6th from 9 to 4. For more information, call 415-339-3900. That's 415-339-3900. Santa Clara parents, educate yourselves at the School Information Fair in San Jose. Over 40 participating schools will help provide educational resources and support on Saturday, January 9th from 9 to 5. For more information, call 408-978-7483. That's 408-978-7483. Kick up your heels in Berkeley at the Luna Kids Dance Center during their open house. Luna Kids Dance Center is free on Saturday, January 9, from 10 to noon. For more information, call 510-644-3629. That's 510-644-3629. Is someone in your family affected by autism? Packard Children's Hospital is offering a 10-part educational series for parents of children and adolescents affected by autism at the Stanford Autism Center. Classes begin Thursday, January 14, from 5:30 to 7. Call now to register, 650-721-6327. That's 650-721-6327. For additional information and more events, visit our website, childhoodmatters.org. And to submit events, email info@childhoodmatters.org. I'm Zan West.
All parents want their children to be healthy from head to toe, and that includes their teeth. Unfortunately, cavities are the most common health problem among kids in California. The good news is that tooth decay is 100% preventable. To keep teeth clean and strong, never let your baby fall asleep with a bottle. Also, help toddlers brush twice a day. Most importantly, take your kids to a dentist by their first birthday. When visiting the dentist for the first time, find out how often your child should come in for a checkup. And be sure to ask about fluoride, which helps protect against cavities. Remember, healthy smiles make healthy kids. First 5 California's Kit for New Parents has more information on how to keep your child healthy from head to toe. To order your own free kit, contact your local Bay Area First 5 or visit first5kids.org/bay.
Teach your children well and know they love you.
We continue with Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Contra Costa.
Back to your host, Rona Renner.
Today, we're talking with Nadia Davis Lockyer. She's the executive director of the Alameda County Family Justice Center, and Judge Erica Yu, currently serving in the Juvenile Dependency Division of the Santa Clara Court, presiding over the Family Wellness Court. And we're talking with you, 1-877-372-KIDS. You know, domestic violence is, family violence is a hard subject to talk about. It's so prevalent, and it's behind closed doors, and behind those doors are kids, and we need to help children not grow up in a home with lots of fear. And you know, we have to do the best we can. People get into circumstances, they get into relationships that don't turn out to be so good, and there is help out there, and yet it's hard. It's hard to get help. It's hard to know you need help. But we just want to remind you that for your child's sake, you know, reach out for help. We'd love to hear from you, 1-877-372-KIDS. Before we take a call, Erica, you were talking about the Warriors for Peace. Tell me a little bit about that.
There's an organization in Santa Clara County called Warriors for Peace. To connect with it, you can go to the Building Peaceful Families website. And that group is an organization of men who are who are working together to try to stamp out domestic violence. Also, in Santa Clara County, we had something similar to what Nadia was talking about, where people would come into court, victims, and they would beg me not to remand the perpetrator because they said, tonight we'll have no place to go and no food. And that victim, for example, didn't even know about the WIC program. And so we put together collaborative, but we don't do it. It's not a everyday thing. I wish it could be. We do something called Domestic Violence Information and Resources Workshops. We do them once a quarter. We move all over our county from North County to South County. And we bring together 40 to 60 resource providers for a workshop. We have free child care, free translation, free meals.
So people really know what resources there are. Food, shelter, support, lawyers.
Right. And we have, for one evening, we have all those resource providers in one room so people don't have to worry about transportation. And then we have an hour-plus long panel of judges and lawyers and counselors who are there answering people's questions real time. We let them ask the questions anonymously. And then we provide the answers. We don't give legal advice, but we give them legal information.
Yeah, and I think you bring up a great point also, Nadia, for people to know that, you know, if you're a child growing up in a very violent situation, you need help, early intervention. And also as you get older, as a teenager and a young adult, you know, if you become aggressive or violent, you need help. And the batterers need help. And you're also working on that, aren't you?
Well, we approach family violence, I mean, holistically. We don't just address or help the victim survivor. We will also offer services to the children and also, you know, the partner, proper referrals. But it is a holistic issue, and we'll never really be able to have a control of community violence until we address family violence. So
yes.
That's why.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take a call. We have Petrina now from Berkeley calling us. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just saying, I'm really glad that you're having this discussion, and I think it's really important that people know what resources are available and know just how difficult and complex these situations are.
Yes, they are complex, aren't they?
They are, absolutely. And I, you know, my work has been working with women and children in domestic violence situations, and working a lot of trauma-based therapy services, and just how I see the impact on the child and how when a situation is not resolved or the family is not saved, none of the therapy can really work. It has to be focused so much on getting resources and getting people in shelters and getting people safe.
Yes.
And also kind of with the reality that I think about 80% of these women will stay with the abuser. So getting them treatment as well is integral.
Yes. Any words of advice or wisdom for people, Petrina?
I think just, you know, moving past the fear and the shame and the stigma and getting support, because there are resources. The Family Justice Center is a wonderful resource.
Thank you.
Victim of Crime program, there's insurance available for women who are looking for help for their kids and themselves. And in that case, they do need to leave the abuser, but there are services and support and resources that are there.
Yes. And I just want to mention that, so Erica, the Victims of Crime is important for people to know that there's money for counseling for in that form, right?
Money for counseling for the victim as well as the children.
Absolutely.
And also money to move, money to install security systems.
Yeah. Yeah. Nadia?
I just wanted to say, I mean, you hit upon a great point that, you know, the best way to help a child that's in a violent home is to help the parent who's experiencing the violence. And the best way to help the parent who's experiencing violence is to help the child. And so what I want to say is getting back to delivering services from the frame of mind of the victim so that when she is not ready, we're not focused on the question of why does she not leave. That should not be our question. And I wanted to thank you for pointing that out. Because it should be, why aren't we getting to her and where she's at and not focusing more on why the batter doesn't leave. So I wanted to, again, just emphasize that the systems are changing in terms of access, and wherever somebody is at, wherever you're at, you can get help. And step by step, get out of the situation that you're in.
Good. Petrina, thank you very much for calling in this morning.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank
and keep so listening and let us know if you have any other resources to pass on.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Issues and concerns surrounding our children's lives.
Pick up the phone at 1-877-372-KIDS.
Let's take another call. We have Dennis from Alameda County. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Do you have your radio on? Can you turn your radio off, Dennis?
I don't have my radio on.
Okay.
I stepped out away from everything. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. What would you like to ask?
I was just calling. I was listening to, like, your third caller, and it felt like I was the means was being blamed for the spousal abuse. I just wanted to make it abundantly clear that domestic violence is when one individual try to take control of power of another individual, whether it's through finances, sexual, verbal, or physical.
Yes.
There's so many ways with domestic violence.
That's
and I believe that 98% of America is in a domestic violence relationship. When they say things negative, if you say something negative to someone, you're on your spouse, you're not in a healthy relationship.
So, Dennis, thank you for calling. In the beginning of the show, we did define that, I think you're bringing up a really important point. There's a fine line, you know, there's a continuum of what we talk about in terms of violence. And I think we have to just clarify that if you're having an argument with your partner, that is different. And maybe our guest can say something about that, Erica.
If you're having an argument and people are not feeling threatened or in danger, and they're just really both having a discussion, I think that that's different than something where somebody maybe takes somebody's face and turns and says, no, look at me, and restrains them or pulls them back or prevents them from leaving the room.
Yes. Nadia, you want to add to that?
That is the legal definition. I also think that it's important to talk about stalking, that stalking is really the non-physical and sometimes non-direct verbal situation where stalking can lead to criminality, and it's something that we do need to be sensitive about that often does lead to domestic violence.
And I want to say, Dennis, too, I appreciate you calling because, as in relationships, you know, I think about I've been married a long time and, you know, my husband and I have certainly had some times when we've, you know, been arguing and it's a little scary and, you know, we've learned over the years how not to do that. So I think anyone who's finding that there's a lot of argument, there's a lot of aggression should get help. Because it's something important to figure out how to live in harmony with another person. So I appreciate you calling. Let's take a listen now to a wonderful piece from Youth Radio. And I think it's another way to think about a child viewing and hearing and understanding domestic violence at home.
Why you let them play you like a video? Turn you on and off like a radio. Tell you when to go fast and slow. Change your channels because he can't stand your show. Make you feel so low and you afraid to say no. Why you let him rewind you, criticize you, hypnotize you until the screen turns blue and your life is through? Why'd you give him the device used to control the operation of you? Why you let him tune you, confuse you, and abuse you? Reject you, select you, and eject you? Why you let him track you, slap you, and map you? Don't know why he do what he do, but you need to pause you. And rewind you. Look at your life before he met you. Look back at that moment when you gave him the remote control. And see how the story unfolds, how instead of asked, you were told what to do and how to feel, and yet you believed that his love was real and still. Fast forward your life. It appears to be fine, but just like this day and time, you're hurting inside. Don't lie. Today, don't neglect you. Reset you and take back the power that was held from you. Take hold of your life. Have it your way. Take hold of that remote and push play.
God,
beautiful.
Every
wow.
time I hear that one, I get a little choked up. Thank you again to Youth Radio. Nadia, you
that was amazing and just so reflective of the power in our children and youth and their resilience. And in each and every one of them, there is that instinctual, absolute belief in hope and in survival. And, you know, that's what this show is all about, and that's why we're all here today, is let's focus on that, and that is really how things will change. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
That's just beautiful. You know, one thing we have in Santa Clara County is called the Death Review. And so every year we look at all the domestic violence-related deaths in the county. And what we're seeing is that those cases where there were deaths were cases where there was no intervention by any governmental agency. And that while people really are reticent to call the police because it starts a whole chain of events, when the police are called and when someone gets a restraining order, it really allows intervention in a family that can save lives.
Yes.
People think a restraining order is just a piece of paper. But now with Alameda County, Santa Clara County courts being really more service-based, that phone call to the police and that court case really does lead to services and intervention.
Yeah, and we want people to get the help they need. Let's take another call. We have Jocelyn now from Palo Alto with us. Good morning, Jocelyn.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for joining us. Go ahead.
Well, I was calling in because I was getting ready, and I heard your show, and it just rung bells for me. I was a victim and a victimizer. In fact, in 2003, I bit my husband, or actually he was my cohabitant. We didn't actually get married till later, but it was an argument that escalated, and then I bit him, and any marks, I guess it was during the O.J. Simpson time, where if any mark is left, the other person who left the mark gets toted away to jail, and that was me. I had some bruises on my legs, but they didn't actually show up till later. And because I had initiated and admitted that I initiated the argument, I was arrested. And it was actually the best thing that ever happened for me, my daughter, and the family. I am no longer with her father, but there was a lot of growing that began while I was admitted into the court system, because once you're in the system, then you're ordered to take a year of anger management.
Yes, and you got the help you needed.
I did. The anger management basically is self-care. I think a lot of the root of this vicious cycle has to do with not really knowing what respect or how to respect and how to have self-respect. And it was definitely a growing experience for me.
And how old is your child now, Jocelyn?
She's 9 years old.
Yeah.
And
she doing okay?
She's great. I mean, I feel that when I actually left, because there's other forms of abuse. It's not just physical. And the physical was on occasion. It was more so the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse that I tolerated until instead of walking away or leaving the relationship, I would just react, and I think that's a big part of the violence is reacting instead of responding.
Erica, you want to say something about that?
Yeah, first of all, you just deserve so much credit, Jocelyn. I'm so just impressed with your personal growth, and you use this keyword about react, because often victims of domestic violence become reactive victims, and they themselves respond with violence, and it gets just so commingled, and then the perpetrator can blame the victim because the victim's reacting in violence. You said you were a victim, and then you were also a victimizer. It sounds to me you were reacting because you had been victimized for a long time. And it's so great that you understood that and you were able to break that cycle.
And, you know, you also said something about the anger management classes. I think they should be taught in high school, you know.
Right.
I think we all should have them. I mean, people need those kinds of skills. You're nodding your head here, Nadia.
And outlets, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And so thank you for that, Jocelyn. You know, I have a couple of books. One is called Listening to Children, Healing Children's Fears by Patty Wiffler. And another one that Santa Clara County uses, it's called How to Raise Emotionally Healthy Children by Gerald Newmark. I'd like to send those to you. You sound like someone who keeps learning. And thank you very much for listening this morning.
You're welcome. You had asked a question earlier. You said, what would motivate people?
So hold on. We're going to go to break, and I'll come back to you when we're back. Okay? So stay with us, Jocelyn. We'll be right back to take your call.
Childhood Matters.
Helpful advice, inspiration, and resources for parents.
Get involved. Call 1-877-372-KIDS.
You can't always be there to protect your child. This flu season, there are flu vaccines that can. Even with best efforts, their hygiene is less than perfect, especially when they're in school and childcare. Children are constantly touching and playing with others. It's no wonder more children get the flu than people of any other age group. So protect them by teaching them to cough into their sleeves or elbows, not their hands, and wash their hands often. Keep them home when they're sick. Call your local health department or visit their website to find out where to get H1N1 and seasonal flu vaccine.
In California, one in three children is overweight or at risk of becoming overweight. As a parent or caregiver, help stop this trend by making sure your child exercises regularly and eats right. Turn off the TV and encourage your child to play, run, skip, and jump. By building strong muscles and bones, kids are healthier and less likely to become overweight or develop diseases like type 2 diabetes. Also, make sure your child eats at least 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. For healthy, affordable recipe ideas, order a free copy of First 5 California's Yummy for Your Tummy mini cookbook by calling 1-800-KIDS-025. For more on healthy lifestyle choices, contact your local Bay Area First 5 or visit first5kids.org/bay.
You can help put money back into the hands of families who are struggling most to make ends meet. Volunteer for Earn It, Keep It, Save It, the Bay Area's largest free tax assistance program for low-income workers and families. Last year, volunteers helped prepare over 47,000 tax returns and returned $47 million in total refunds. You'll receive free training from the IRS, so no experience is necessary. For more information, visit earnitkeepitsaveit.org. Brought to you by your local First 5.
Childhood Matters. I'm Nurse Rona. The number of overweight children in America has tripled since 1980. This is mainly because of unhealthy eating and a lack of physical activity. When a child is overweight, they can be at risk for developing health problems like type 2 diabetes and emotional problems from being teased. Children learn by example. Adults play an important role by eating healthy foods and making physical activity a part of family life. You can limit junk food, provide healthy snacks like fruits and vegetables, pretzels, and yogurt. Give them plenty of water and let children leave food on their plate if they're not hungry. Go for family walks, bike rides, take the stairs, and limit TV and computer time. If you're concerned about your child's weight, talk to your doctor. And when children say their friends can drink soda whenever they want, remind them that it's your job to help them grow up healthy. This Childhood Matters health tip is made possible by a grant from Kaiser Permanente, Northern California.
You're listening to Childhood Matters.
Brought to you in part by First 5 Marin. Here's more with Nurse Rona.
We're talking with Nadia Davis-Lockyer. She's the executive director of the Alameda County Family Justice Center, and Judge Erica Yu, currently serving in the Juvenile Dependency Division of the Santa Clara Court, presiding over the Family Wellness Court. And we have Jocelyn still on the line with us, I think, from Palo Alto. Hi, Jocelyn. Sorry to cut you off there.
Hi, I'm still here.
Good. What were you asking? Or responding to?
Earlier in the show, you had asked how some people are able to get out of the domestic violence cycle, and
yeah.
I just wanted to share what motivated
yeah.
me to get out.
Good.
Basically, my daughter motivated me to get out. I'm very aware that generational curses or cycles are passed down, and I learned how to react instead of. Was because that's all I knew. And growing up, I was the child of my mom. That was how she raised us. She was just very a reactive person, and so I just thought that was normal. And
yes.
And then I just would replay what I had learned. But now I'm a registered nurse. I went through nursing school. The anger management, tons of therapy, tons of self-help books.
Yeah.
And I just really was motivated to not pass this cycle to my daughter. I wanted to role model to her an educated woman who responded and communicated well and took care of herself and had self-respect, because I wanted her to have a good quality of life. I wanted her to be
happy. You wanted to break the cycle. And yet, you know, I noticed for myself and other people too, when that happens, you feel such joy that you can break the cycle. And then you also have to take care of yourself for the sadness you feel that you didn't have what she has. Mm-hmm. And it sounds to me like, you know, your motivation is the motivation I hear over and over again from parents, that they realize once they look at their child's face and understand what they're going through, that they have to make some change. Erica, this is what you see all the time, isn't it?
It's true. People who have suffered so many years of and so many generations of, you know, poverty, homelessness, addiction, violence, will find it within themselves, if not to heal themselves, to try to heal their children. And in doing so, they heal themselves. And I see them actually then be able to have like meaningful relationships with their own parents and kind of just really holistically heal their family. And I'm so moved every day in court by people's inner strength.
Yes. And Nadia, you know, I think Jocelyn is bringing up the point, too, about she knew she had to do something different for her child. And you also see in the services you provide in Alameda County how children can heal and be resilient if they get the right help.
I want to applaud Jocelyn again for your courage and for sharing your story, because what you've done for your child is you've pierced this bubble of this caring of a secret that you probably did growing up and that you saw your daughter doing. And, you know, facing the situation in the way that, you know, was comfortable for you, you were able to do that. And I have absolutely seen children believing in love and believing in a safe relationship because they've watched their parents go through that and have the courage to get help. So thank you for sharing your story.
And Jocelyn, is this something that your daughter can speak about herself?
Yes, we have we're very communicative. We talk about everything. I want her to be able to learn and to be able to feel comfortable to ask me anything. And she knows everything. And so she's very eloquent. You know, she could probably talk about it herself. And
yeah. Well, keep up the good work. And thanks for staying on the line, because that piece that you just added, I think I've talked to so many parents who say, you know, that's kept them in recovery. That's kept them, you know, dealing with domestic violence. It really is what keeps us motivated. We want to do the best we can for our children. So thanks for your call, Jocelyn.
I just wanted to share a message of hope that, you know, through something like that, you can get out, you can learn, and you can break cycles and pass that. Because when you're raising your children, you're also raising your grandchildren.
Yes,
directly, so.
That's right. Well, join us on Facebook, you know, and comment sometimes, you know, from one nurse to another. I'm really glad to get to meet you, Jocelyn.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay. Bye-bye. Nadia, go ahead.
I wanted to point out that another sign of improvement in our society and dealing with domestic violence is that the healing process is continuous, and that there doesn't need to be a new incident of personal violence in your life to get help. There's agencies that can continue to provide counseling and support groups to anybody that's experienced violence, whether it's 10 years ago or today. The support is out there for your entire life.
That's really – go ahead.
Can I add something? Because Jocelyn also used another really important word, which is hope. Having been in a similar situation, I know when you're stuck in this whole awful relationship where there's violence and, you know, you feel you are worthless, because that's part of the whole power and control and victimization phenomenon. If you don't feel that there's hope – You just can't find it within yourself to leave that situation. And so people like Eric and Jocelyn, who are coming forward and sharing their stories, and showing that they can survive that, I think, give people hope.
Yes, and I think as we have a few minutes left, I want to say something about why people don't leave. You know, mm-hmm. I think that's the criticism. And again, there's so much shame, there's criticism, there's judgment. And I think it's important for people who are listening to understand. You may have a neighbor, you may have a relative, and you find yourself thinking, like, why don't they just leave? You know, maybe both of you can say something about that.
People feel like they're economically tied to the perpetrator. They have children with them. There's immigration issues. Their home is there. There's just so many things that make people feel helpless and hopeless. And so knowing that there are resources in the community, and I think that's why Nadia and I are just so passionate about what we do, providing people with that information is a means of giving them hope that they are not alone, that they don't need this perpetrator to be the sole provider of all their life, you know, really essential life needs.
Good. Nadia, what do you think in terms of why people stay?
Yeah. Erica touched upon it. And we need to get to a point where the question, again, needs to be why hasn't the batterer left or stopped beating her, rather than, you know, our question of why doesn't she just leave. And I think we are getting there and educating the public more about the cycle of abuse and the trauma and then bonding and trauma and what happens there. And all of the barriers and access obstacles that we need to overcome. And again, the judge mentioned many of the barriers. We are working past them in so many different ways. And there's policy in place that, for example, the U visa can help an immigrant victim receive protected status so that is not something that's stopping her from getting out of the isolated situation and getting help. People can also, what's called a bifurcated lease, get out of a lease situation that may be locking them in and maybe causing some fear economically about the after effects of leaving some lease obligations. There's many, many ways, new laws, new systems, new ways to get help in the way that is most comfortable for a survivor. That wherever somebody, however you are reaching out to get help, there are systems improving the ways that you can get all of the help that you need.
And I want to mention there's a national DV hotline because people are listening to this show throughout California and also throughout the world. So we have a national DV hotline here. It's 1-800-799-SAFE, 1-800-799-7233. And Nadia, if people are in Alameda County and they want to understand about how they can get services at the Family Justice Center, what do they call there?
510-267-8800.
510-267-8800. And you can always contact us at childhoodmatters.org if you don't have these resources and you want them. And I just want to ask you a final word here. If you had a magic wand, what would you see change now for families of who are victims of violence?
More practical support so that transportation and childcare are provided. That is really the key wand. And I also wanted to share with everybody that several counties in the Bay Area are opening their own family justice centers, including Sonoma, Solano, Contra Costa County. And so continued support and funding to them,
yes,
because they are truly delivering services from the frame of mind of families and children
yes,
who are experiencing violence.
Nadia Davis-Lockyer, thank you for the dedicated work that you're doing. I hope you'll come back again. Erica, if you had the magic wand, what would you change right now?
I'd put more money in community resources. You know, people who have their children with them can get Medi-Cal, but if you don't have your child with you because you're in a treatment program and your child's been removed, you can't get Medi-Cal, so you can't get your medications if you need your psych med, you can't get dental care, housing is important, free diapers, because you can't get diapers with food stamps or through WIC, so where do people get diapers, and diapers are so expensive.
Really practical,
yes,
services
essential
that people
needs.
Need. Essential
Can I say
needs.
One quick thing?
Yeah.
Save
and
our shelters.
And
into
shelters,
all of our shelters.
More shelters, places
State
where
funding
people can
to our
go.
Shelters.
Well, Erica, you're doing great work, and I know we'll see you again here on the show. Thank you to our guests, to all of our listeners. I'm really grateful to our team, Zan West, senior producer, Lacey Daniel, and Alan Felsha, Zuschlag, producers Peter B. Collins of Collins Media Services, and I'm forever grateful to my children, Pei, Mara, Matt, and Karina, and my husband, Mick, for the happiness you all bring to my life. This is Rona saying goodbye till next week, and parents, remember, spend time with your children, and don't forget to take good care of yourself. Childhood matters, and so do you.
You've been listening to Childhood Matters.
Produced by Collins Media Services and presented by the nonprofit Interactive Parenting Media. Join us again for Childhood Matters. Find out more at childhoodmatters.org.